1 Kings chapter 10, the first three verses. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Now the queen of Sheba is referred to in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, as the queen of the south. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The queen's desire to meet Solomon was ardent enough for her to embark on a 1,400-mile journey across the desert sands of Arabia, along the coast of the Red Sea, up into Moab and over the Jordan River to Jerusalem. Such a journey required at least 6 months' time round trip each way, since camels could rarely travel more than 20 miles per day. Arabian camels were tall and hardy creatures, able to store water and fat for 3 weeks while living only on desert roughage. Wearing saddles of oak padded with colorful fabric and hung with gold chains, camels in a caravan were strung together by ropes made of goat hairs. The Queen of Sheba came from far with great difficulty, running great risks. Why did she make the long journey to Jerusalem? She lived in extreme comfort and luxury herself. Why? Why did she have to go to see Solomon? She had seemingly everything a person could want and hope for. But there must have been a void and emptiness in her heart. She was aching for the truth. There was in her strong curiosity about King Solomon. She was intrigued by him. She had heard of the fame and wisdom of him from others. And her response was, I need to go and meet Solomon for myself. Is there in your heart a sense of a need for God, for truth, and for righteousness today? A need to discover for yourself who Jesus is? Why did he come into the world? Why did he die on the cross? The Queen of the South acted in such a way that there was no journey too great for her if that meant she would find answers to her hard and difficult questions. The mass of mankind today will scarcely cross the streets to see Jesus, who has power to bless them eternally. It's too far to walk. I'm too busy, they say. They are utterly careless and apathetic about a greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ, who can save them from sin and hell. There are people living right next to this church building who have never attended a worship service. And we've gone out and we've talked to them about their souls. And all they have to do is just open their doors and come across the street and hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. But they won't come. They're not interested. It's a bother to them. Thanks, but no thanks, is their response. And people need the Lord Jesus Christ today. And brethren, don't be discouraged. Don't be put off when you go to talk to someone about the Lord and they say, thanks, but no thanks. Jesus is unknown to many people today. And that shouldn't discourage us. That should encourage us to go after them even more. Because they need the Lord. They need to be saved from their ignorance, from their darkness, from their sins. I just talked to a person this week and asked her if she goes to church anywhere. You know what her response was? Mother Nature's my church. I love the outdoors. I go outside and I look at God all the time. That's my church. That's who I worship. And that's just one response of many, many, many responses that you would get from this generation regarding their belief in God. Their belief in God is a belief that is in ignorance, in darkness. Jesus is the unknown God to them. And they need to be awakened. They need to be alarmed. They need to be stirred up in their souls. They need to be convicted of their sins and convinced that Jesus Christ is the answer to their sin problem and to their lives. I can remember a preacher telling me of an experience he had one time handing out tracts at a sporting event. There was a business company at the game giving away free Cokes to the fans for promotion. People were flocking to the coolers for their free soda. At the same time, the preacher was handing out gospel tracts, and some people thought they were coupons for free food and lottery tickets, so they took one. But when they took a closer look at them and realized it was a gospel tract, they threw it away. "What is this?" they said. "A free soda is more important to them than faith in Jesus Christ. A free can of soda they'd rather have than to be saved from their sins by the merciful God, Jesus Christ. Who but the Son of God has made known the Father as He has done? What other teaching than the gospel of Jesus Christ meets all the wants of men? Who else but Christ has revealed such grace and truth to sinners? Jesus Christ is infinitely greater than the wise and famous King Solomon." We learn from the Queen of the South that she had a hunger and thirst for the truth. The Queen went to Jerusalem to meet Solomon for herself, and she was not disappointed. And you know, anyone who has ever met Jesus Christ and heard His wisdom and heard His grace and has really reached their hearts never been disappointed by the blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ. So the title of my message for today is "The Queen of the South, Seeker of Wisdom." We must seek after wisdom like the Queen of the South. What is wisdom? Well, according to John Calvin, true wisdom consists in two things: knowledge of God and knowledge of self. The knowledge of God is found in the Bible. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, "Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus Christ is the source of true wisdom. He declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And without Jesus Christ, you cannot know God. So in order for you to have wisdom, you have to know Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Him. You have to follow Him. For He is the source of wisdom and truth. But the knowledge of self is found in the Bible as well. Not only does the Bible declare the knowledge of God, but it declares the knowledge of self. And what is the knowledge of self? Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Who are we? What are we? What is our nature? The Bible tells us very plainly and clearly that we're sinners, that we're corrupt, we're defiled. We're sinners because of our father Adam, who sinned in the garden when he ate that forbidden fruit. And that nature has been transferred down to us throughout the ages. And we are sinners by that transfer of Adam's sin. But we're also sinners because of our actual sins, because of the sins that we commit. The sins that we commit daily in thought, word, and deed. And in order for us to know who we are, we have to go into the Bible. And the Bible says very, very clearly that we are sinners. We are falling. We are corrupt. And the Queen of the South left her country for the express purpose of finding true wisdom. She wanted to find out who the true God was. And she wanted to find out who she was, because that's what she was seeking after. And did she find what she was looking for? Well, let us consider four things that will help us answer that important question. First of all, seeking after wisdom begins by hearing the truth. The Queen of the South heard about the fame and wisdom of King Solomon in Jerusalem. Someone told her about the wisdom of Solomon. Perhaps the Queen was told of the story when Solomon settled the dispute between two women. both claiming to be the mother of the same baby, recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 24 and 28. Let me read you that account of Solomon's wisdom and how to settle this dispute. We read, Solomon commanded, "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She's the mother thereof." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Perhaps she heard that story. The queen of the south undoubtedly heard about the construction of the great temple to Jehovah in Jerusalem. It's understandable that any monarch might wish to view such a magnificent building, the fame of which was spreading across the civilized world. And she wanted to go and see for herself this great building that Solomon was building to his God. What a glorious building. What a building that reflected the love that God's people had for their great king and great God, Jehovah. It could have been Solomon's government and the immensity of his court that stirred the queen of the south to visit Jerusalem. King Solomon came to the throne of Israel in 965 B.C., historians tell us that Solomon had fleets of Phoenician-built ships on the Mediterranean, the Red Sea, and the Indian Ocean. Solomon's empire was so vast that he found it necessary to divide his kingdom into 12 states to administer his royal cities. It was the duty of each state to provide 1 month's supply, not only of food, but also of barley and straw for the horses, and even horses themselves, if necessary, for the needs of the royal household. This put quite a burden on the farmers and shepherds of the country, and taxation was very high. To give you an idea of how great this burden was, consider the following. The provisions needed in one day for Solomon's court were 240 gallons of flour, 480 gallons of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, plus numerous harts, gazelles, roebucks, and fattened fowl. That was just in one day. Solomon had to use that food to feed his court. The queen of the south heard about this fame and wisdom of King Solomon, and she wanted to go and meet him in person. But someone had to tell her this. Someone was the herald. Someone was the messenger to tell the queen of the south that there's someone in Jerusalem who is so wise and so famous and so glorious, and his name is Solomon. And the Bible teaches that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Apply that to the gospel. When Jesus Christ used someone in your life to tell you the good news of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wasn't that a wonderful message to hear? That there's someone who went to the cross to die for your sins. Someone that the Lord used. Maybe it was your parent or father or mother or friend or teacher or coach that the Lord used to tell you that there's someone who can save you from your sins. There's someone who is alive now in heaven, who makes propitiation for the sins of His people. That is Jesus Christ. And when we heard that message, our hearts were drawn to it. I remember my own life. My high school history teacher, a public high school history teacher, was the one who the Lord used to tell me about the gospel and to explain to me the gospel. And when I heard it, my heart leaped and said, "I'm interested. I'm interested because I have a void in my heart, because there's an emptiness in my heart, and Jesus Christ is the one who can fill that void." Wasn't that the same reaction in your heart, brothers and sisters, when someone told you the gospel for the first time? "I never heard this before. Tell me more. Tell me more about this Jesus." And you could just see how this must have been similar reaction in the queen's heart when they started telling her about Solomon. "Tell me more. Tell me more about this famous king, this glorious king. Seeking after wisdom involves hearing the gospel. And what a blessing it was when we first heard the gospel, when we first heard it. We had so many questions. We wanted to know more. And this leads to my second point. Seeking after wisdom begins by hearing the truth, but it also continues by acting upon the truth. Not only did we hear it, not only did we was it communicated to us, but we had to do something about it. It wasn't just something that we heard and forgot about. When Jesus Christ was presented to us, we had to pursue Christ. We had to go after Christ. We had to go to the place where Christ was. We are told in 1 Kings chapter 10 that when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. She traveled far to meet King Solomon. This was a difficult journey with many risks. She left her comfort zone to see Solomon. She wasn't apathetic, idle, or uninterested in what she heard. She acted upon the news she heard. She arose and went forth to Jerusalem. She acted on what she heard because she was interested in obtaining wisdom and truth. And yet we read in the account in 1 Kings chapter 10, there was a little unbelief in her. She had this zeal and this desire to see King Solomon. But what do we read? Her own admission in verse 7 of 1 Kings 10. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. There was even an admission of unbelief in her heart regarding the actual things that were told to her by her messengers. And it wasn't until she actually went to see Jesus for herself that everything that her messengers told her was true. When the messenger of God was sent to you to tell you about Jesus, and then you actually went to Jesus, you could confirm, everything was confirmed by that faithful servant of the Lord, that when I met Jesus, everything that messenger said to me was true about Jesus. He does forgive sins. He does make people whole. He does heal. He does sanctify. He does make people holy. It was all confirmed. But we had to go to Jesus. We had to make that journey. We had to make that trip. And where did that desire to leave her country and go to Jerusalem come from the heart of the Queen of the South? What was she doing? Why was she going so far away, must have thought her people. See, her hearing led to her seeking. And this was indeed proof that the Holy Spirit was working in her heart. As she heard that news of Solomon, the Spirit of God took that message and he worked that desire into her heart to go see Him. Just like a sinner is drawn to Jesus Christ by faith, the Spirit of God, He uses the preaching of the Word of God, He uses the messengers of God to stir up in us an interest in the things of the Gospel. And then the Holy Spirit puts that desire to go and do something about it. We must hear the gospel, but we must be doers of the gospel. What pushes us to do? What pushes us to go and go after Christ? It's the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's not a desire that we can work up or is innate in us. It's the Spirit of God working as He draws sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a testimony to the power of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the Queen of the South. Here was a woman who was a pagan, who was a Gentile, who knew nothing of the true God. And yet there was this desire, this burning desire. I've got to go see King Solomon. I've got to talk to him. I've got to ask him questions. Because evidently there was something in her heart that was missing. There was something missing in her life. How many people today have everything money can buy? They have prestige, they have fame, they have possessions, and yet they have something in their life that they're missing. This is the type of person the Queen of South was. She had everything, and yet there was something missing in her life, and the Spirit of God worked in her heart to listen to the message and then act upon the message and go to the source of true wisdom. Go to the place where she could have her questions and her desires answered in a right way. I thought of the Magi who traveled to see the Lord Jesus Christ. A very similar kind of event here. You have these rulers from a foreign nation, and all of a sudden there's this desire. After seeing the stars in heaven, they see this one bright star, and it's shining in a specific location, and they have this curiosity. Why that star? Why would they make such a long trip to Bethlehem to see Jesus? It's the same kind of power that was working in the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, was working in the hearts of the Magi. The Lord was drawing them and guiding them to the right place. And if you sincerely are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus will not lead you to a place where you get lost. The Lord Jesus will guide you all the way to the place where you will hear truth and where your soul will be saved. The Queen of the South, it was a difficult journey, but she made it there safely. The Magi, they left, and it was a long journey for them too. And the Lord guided them by that great star in the sky, and they too found the place that they were looking for. And so it is true with every child of God. Everyone who has been drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit and by faith, He never has us go on a trip that causes us to get lost. But He always has us go to the place where we will find truth, where our hearts will be full of joy and peace. There was a peace that was missing from this woman's heart, the Queen of South, and she wanted to go to King Solomon and find that peace. And in the gospel, we hear the gospel preached, but then we must do what the gospel commands. We must go to the cross where Jesus died for sinners. We must repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Not only are we to hear the message, but we are to act upon it. We're to repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cross makes one wise unto salvation. It's at the cross where sinners first see the light and the burden of their hearts roll away. It's at the cross we understand the sinfulness of sin. We understand at the cross that Christ became sin for us and that we become righteous by faith in Him. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, that is, Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And where does that happen when we go to the cross? We understand the great transaction that takes place, that great exchange that takes place. Christ becomes sin. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Christ became sin for us. That was what was imputed to Christ on the cross. And what was imputed to us at the cross? His righteousness. Christ took upon us our sins and He gave to us His righteousness. And where do we learn this? Where do we discover this? We discover this at the cross. Therefore, we must go to the cross ourselves. And it must be a journey alone. There's no one who can go to the cross with us. We must go to the cross by ourselves and there meet Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Our parents can't take us to the cross. Your friends can't take you to the cross. Only you can go to the cross where Jesus will meet you. You have to have that desire, that burden to go. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from us because we're corrupt and evil, but it comes from the Spirit of God. Therefore, we need to say, "Lord, give me that desire, that burden to go to the cross." Christ became sin for us on the cross. He shed His precious blood for our sins. And at the cross is where believers put off their filthy stains and their filthy rags and put on the robes of righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was at the cross by faith we received our sight, and now we are happy all the day. And what a beautiful picture we see here in the Queen of the South. What a beautiful picture of the gospel, where sinners hear the gospel and then they're drawn to the gospel by obeying it, and they'll do whatever it takes to get to Christ. No journey is too far for them, because they know that that void is there, that emptiness is there, and we can't live with that void, that emptiness. We need peace. We need joy. We need a life worth living. And what gives us that? It's Jesus. He gives us that life. He gives us that peace. So she heard it, the gospel, the message, and she did it. She commanded, she obeyed it by going herself. Thirdly, seeking after wisdom involves getting answers to hard questions. The Queen of the South asked hard questions to King Solomon. She asked questions possibly pertaining to life and death and happiness and sorrow and sin and salvation and God. What's the purpose of life? Why am I here? She must have asked King Solomon, who's the true God? Who am I? Perhaps a question she asked Solomon was, what shall I do to be saved? The same question that was asked in Acts chapter 16. What must I do to be saved from my sins? Could have been a reasonable question that she asked King Solomon. Have you ever asked that question? What must I do to be saved from my sins? What must I do to be right with God? What bridges that space between God and man? What brings me nigh to God? And the answer is clearly revealed to us in Acts chapter 16, verse 38. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Christ and your sins will be forgiven. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be a child, young person, middle-aged, old people. We do the same thing. We need to believe on Jesus, because we're all sinners. Children are just little sinners. Young people are just young sinners. Old people are old sinners. We need to be saved. We need the answers to these questions of how do I get saved? Why do I need to get saved? Jesus answers those questions in the gospel. Those are hard questions that people ask today. My life is such a mess. My life is so turned upside down. What am I going to do? I have so much heartache and so much pain and so suffering. Take your hard questions to Jesus. He's the one who can help. He's the one who can answer. He's the one who can come and heal and draw near to us. This is what the Queen of the South shows us, why by going to Solomon, she took hard questions to Solomon and he answered them all. We read of the great promises in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We must not read this text in unbelief. Ask, but it will not be given me. Seek, but I will not find it. Knock, but the door will be closed to me. How many times have we come to that text and talked to the Lord in that kind of spirit? We can read the text and yet we apply it because of our unbelief and say, that's good for someone else, but not for me. These things won't be true to me. Let us not be like the unbelieving advisor of the king who said in the midst of a severe famine in Israel, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And the prophet Elijah said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Remember that advisor? during the days of Elisha in the land of Israel, there was so great famine, and the prophet said that the Lord would deliver this city from this famine the next day. And he mocked the Lord out of a spirit of unbelief. He said, if the Lord can make windows in heaven, this could not happen. And that the Lord said, because you said that, because you are full of unbelief, you will see it, but you won't eat thereof. We must taste for ourselves that the Lord is good, and let not unbelief drown faith in our hearts. And this woman, this queen of the south, she admits she had unbelief, but she was able to overcome her unbelief by her faith in the Lord. And so too, we come to the Lord with our unbelief, and we have to admit it, and we have to confess it sadly, that yes, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a shameful thing for me to question the Lord and to not believe in the promises of the Lord, but we do that. We constantly struggle with that. And yet we see in this picture of the Queen of the South that she continued to pursue after the Lord, and the Lord did not disappoint her. All her questions were answered. All of her heart was completely overwhelmed and exceeded all expectations when she went to Solomon. Listen to what Thomas Brooks writes. Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and pays with loss. He promises life and pays with death. But God pays as He promises. All His payments are made in pure gold. Perhaps you have hard questions in your life today, but you don't know where to turn. Why do I suffer? What is God's will in my life? Who will I marry? What job should I be working? Where will I go after I die? The Queen of the South had hard questions, and she asked King Solomon for his counsel. But we have one who is greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ, the all-wise God. Christ, who was the King of Solomon. Christ, who created Solomon. We must take our hard questions to Jesus. He is the wonderful counselor. Ask Him and you will receive grace in your trials. Ask Him and you will receive power to overcome temptations. Ask Him and you will receive wisdom for today. Take your cares to Jesus, for He cares for your soul. Seeking after wisdom entails asking hard questions and finding answers to those hard questions in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, seeking after wisdom culminates in finding faith in Jesus Christ. When the Queen of the South met King Solomon, everything that she heard about him was true. It far exceeded her greatest expectations. Listen to her words in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 and 9. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. How believe it? I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." I love that picture of the queen seeing the servants of Solomon. They were happy. They were happy people. There was an attraction in the court of Solomon, what attracted them was there's a joy, a happiness in their life. Isn't that the attraction that we pray for as the servants of the Lord? When people look at us, do they see the joy of the Lord in our hearts? Do they see that light, that attraction that has real power in the life of people? The Queen of South saw it. And she was affected by it. She was overwhelmed by it. I think so often we are such sourpusses when it comes to our testimonies. People look at us and we're just gloom, doom, and all is woe. And look at me. And we're not the happy people that were like in the court of Solomon. And it makes a difference, brethren. It leaves an impression on people, our countenances. And oh, that the Lord would give us a bright and cheerful countenance to those who we come in contact with. That they who see us will say the same thing that the Queen of the South said. These are happy people. They love the Lord. Jesus is their Savior. They love the commandments of God because they're God's people. God's commandments are not things that are burdensome to us, but they are delighting. We delight in them. We delight to be in the Lord's house on Sunday. We don't want to miss the Lord's house. Our hearts grieve when we miss the Lord's house. If we go and let Sunday after Sunday, we just don't go. Our hearts grieve. It doesn't make us happy. But when we come to the Lord's house Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it's an expression that we are joyful and happy in the Lord. Are you happy today to be in the Lord's house, or you just can't wait to get out? Or we won't see you for a long time. The Lord's house is a delight. And if I miss one Lord's Day service, I feel like I've been away for a year in the Lord's house. And when I get into the Lord's house, am I always happy? No, I'm not always happy. But what's my general attitude? What's my general countenance? It should be joy. It should be happy. There are times when I come into the Lord's house with a heavy heart. And I have trials that weigh me down. And I'm discouraged. But I'm still happy to be in the Lord's house. I'm happy because God will have a word for me today. The Lord will speak to me. I'll meet with my Savior. And the whole day will be the Lord's. It won't be just the Sabbath hour. It'll be the Sabbath day. Because the whole day belongs to Christ. And that makes me happy. I'm not happy when I don't give the whole day to the Lord. I become riddled with guilt and regret because I didn't give the whole day to the Lord. But oh, what a blessing it is when I give the whole day to the Lord. The Sabbath day. People give the Sabbath hour. But that's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says, the day belongs to me. And oh, that the Lord would teach us what a joy it is to keep holy the Sabbath day for the glory of Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing that we read about this woman from the south was that she blessed the Lord. She blessed the Lord. A Bible commentator writes, it is quite possible, as Jewish writers say, that this queen was converted through Solomon's influence to the worship of the true God. But there's no record of her making any gift or offering in the temple. But the consensus is that this is language of a converted soul here. It appears that the conversion of the Queen of the South is supported by Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Queen of Sheba came from a remote country to hear the wisdom of a mere man, though a gifted one, and was transported with wonder at what she saw and heard. But the one who was greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ, was despised, rejected, slighted, and slandered by the world. And it says that the Queen of South will rise up in the judgment against this evil and wicked generation that rejected the counsel and wisdom of Jesus Christ. This seems to imply that the Queen of the South is in heaven on the side of the righteous and therefore is a converted person. The Queen of the South discovered the truth of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. She had found him who was altogether lovely. My beloved! I found my beloved! She was saying when she found Solomon, what a picture that is of the sinner finding Jesus Christ. I have found the one who I've been looking for and seeking for and never found until now. I'm at the very presence of the Lord Jesus. He's my beloved. He's altogether lovely. We have found the Christ, proclaimed Andrew to Peter. Come, see for yourself. We found Him who the Scripture has said will come to save us. Come! And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Can you say that Jesus is mine and I am his? Can you say that I have found Jesus? That I've been to the cross and there my sins have been forgiven, my burdens have rolled away, and Jesus has made me his child? He's made me into his son and daughter. And not everyone is a child of God. Don't be deceived. Not everyone who lives is a child of God. Everyone who lives is a creature of God, but not everyone's a child of God. Jesus even says that your father is the devil. Only those who know Jesus Christ, they're the children of God. Because God is our Father, and we are adopted into His family. Horatius Bonner writes, not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers or sighs or tears can ease my awful load. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Seeking after wisdom culminates in finding faith in Jesus Christ. Are you a wise person today? If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you are. You may not be smart in terms of intellectual smarts and brains, but if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a whole lot wiser than the smartest professors at the universities. You're wiser than the religious leaders of false religion, because you have Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. In closing, the Queen of the South was a seeker of wisdom. Seeking after wisdom begins by hearing the truth. Seeking after wisdom continues by acting upon the truth. And seeking after wisdom involves getting answers to hard questions. Seeking after wisdom culminates in finding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Queen of the South was a seeker of Christ. Are you seeking the Lord? May the Lord help us to be seekers of Jesus Christ. Let us pray.